Last Sunday, Abraham Joseph was speaking, and he was saying that he was touching on the last section of 1 Peter to sum up everything that was said concerning the Christian hope in 1 Peter. Today, I shall be speaking too on the Christian hope. Now, I'm not sure whether all of you are aware that for the last 4 months, January to April 2026, you have been speaking on the theme, you have been hearing on the theme, the Christian hope from the study of 1 Peter. And at the end of it all, I'm wondering, I'm asking myself too, how much of the study on that hope has gone into my mind, into my life, into my life, for me to know it, to practice it, and to have it lived out, this living hope in my life. And it is with this concern that this morning I would like to speak on this topic of the Christian hope as expounded in 1 Peter. I may not have time to finish everything, and today perhaps I would like to stand on the precedent of ending a bit earlier because I feel that it's not the time that it takes to pass over a message, but it is the ability to pass on the gist of the message to all. If the time is short, that it may sink in. Therefore, what is this hope that we are talking about? Now, the Oversight have planned out a very good series for January, February, March, April on the hope that is expounded in 1 Peter. Sunday morning, Lord's Supper, for example, we have the theme, Hope in Help in a Helpless World. Then, even in the Sunday evening gospel meeting, first Sunday, we have the theme, Living Hopefully or Hopelessly. A challenge to all those who come to the gospel meeting, whether they have a hope or whether they do not have a hope, which is hopeless indeed. Then even in the Wednesday prayer meeting, we find that there is the theme on hope-filled in a hostile world. That while we live in this hostile world, we still can have hope. Now, it is very important that today that there is hope. We know what hope is and how to live by that hope. I was surprised just a few days ago to receive from the Oversight a poster on the 88th anniversary of the Bummer Gospel Hall. And the topic and the theme for that study, for that anniversary celebration, is none other than the living hope, taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. This, incidentally, happens to be my theme for this morning. Today's study is on the theme, The Christian Hope, Part 1. Because there's so much to know about it, and so deep in teaching, that we must know how to grasp it properly. And I hope that after this, every one of us here, or most of us here, will be able to go away from this place to sum up all that we have learned since January to April and to come to a climax to say that we know what the living hope is for our lives. What is this living hope that we have been studying for the last 4 months? Next time I'm here, I shall continue with this topic of the Christian hope, but it will be under the name of the Christian's hope, not the Christian hope. The Christian hope is what it is. The Christian's hope is what I should do about it now that I know about it. That is the Christian hope. And I wish that, I pray, that every one of us will know what this Christian hope is. It's based on 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And it reads, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. It is a hope that is living, that lives in our lives, that means meaning to us while we are alive, not when we are dead. What it is, the hope, a living hope. Today, after a study for 4 months, if I ask you to define what is this hope that we have been studying about, would you be able to say it? I hope that we will be able to do so at the end of this meeting. What is this hope? Well, briefly from the text, from the scriptures, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. It is a hope that is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and His appearing again to take us back unto Himself. This is the living hope that all of us should know, should be familiarized with, and should live with. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both safe and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. This hope that we have can never be taken away if we know this hope, because it is anchored steadfast and sure in the Holy of Holies, in the place where the Lord Jesus Christ has entered as a high priest. And no one can take it away from Him because He's always there. And no one can ever take it from us because it is always there in us. Do you know this hope? That's what is important. It is a hope that is anchored, not on earth. Earth will soon pass away. The heavens above will pass away. But heaven above, beyond that heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is entered into the Holy of Holies, that is sure. And strange to say, this anchor is anchored as not in normal ways in the sea, but in heaven itself. And that's why it can never be taken away. This is the living hope that all of us must know before the end of April goes away, since we have been studying about this living hope. Right, as an introduction, hope. We are looking at this hope through the exposition of Peter himself. What has Peter to say about this hope? And Peter is the right person to say, because he must have really a living hope to keep him alive to this very day, the very day when the letter was written, when he knew he was facing death and is very, very near persecution and martyrdom before him. Peter, he knows that this hope is a living hope. What it is, the Christian hope. In 1 Peter, it is objective. What you have studied up to now is what the Christian hope is. And I hope you know what it is before we enter into the month of May. It focuses on the foundation and future fulfillment of our hope amidst a world of suffering. Nero's persecution was coming near, pending. He must prepare the people for this persecution that was coming. The hope that he was going to expound was based on the past. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected for us. And it looks up to the future, to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has resurrected up from the dead, and he is now in the right hand, in the Holy of Holies, he's coming again. And because of that, we look forward to his return. From the past, a foundation, into the future, are looking forward for that hope that is in us. Hope that is internal pressure. It doesn't necessarily remove the external weight of the world, but it equalizes it so we are not crushed by the circumstances. What does that mean? This hope is internalized in us and eternalized in us. This hope can never be taken away. It is there, anchored in heaven, and no matter what happens to the circumstances outside, the persecution may be great, the pressure may be great, but there is internal pressure outwards and upwards to equalize that which presses downwards in order that it may stand firm, steadfast, and sure. This is the hope that we have. And if we do not know that hope, something might be wrong, because one day we will see the materialization of this hope before us. It is like a diver going into the sea. If he meets up with a little pressure, the atmospheric pressure and aqualung will be enough. But if he goes deeper, the deep sea diver, he needs a suit. And as the pressure of the ocean presses down upon him, the internal pressure of the oxygen in the suit goes up to equalize it. Hope, this hope, does not take away persecution from us. This hope does not remove the pressure upon us. But it gives us the strength to withstand the pressure that is upon us, to equalize it so that we may go against it. This is the Christian hope that is different from any other wishy-flimsy hope that one may have. And because of this, we are told to diligently seek after it. What is the word diligent? The word diligent is prudosa. And it infers, as we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you do well. So this hope, unfortunately, doesn't come to you naturally. You have to be diligent to search for it, to know what that hope is. And that's why you have 4 months, January to April, to know what that hope is. And I hope you know. And if you know, if you do not, then I hope today you somehow will get a grasp of it and know what it is. That when it's time for that hope to materialize, it is there to sustain you. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You shall never fall. The depth of the meaning, spudosa, or diligence, it means to make every effort, to be zealous, to hasten. So, just by sitting down for 4 months, listening to various speakers expounding on the hope, is not enough. You have to give diligence to work at it, to study it, to know it, and to read the scriptures. It carries a sense of urgent intensity. And especially now, we are living in this world where The end is very imminent. We just have to look around. We look at the world around. If the Christians in Nigeria, if the Christians in the Middle West, if the Christians in Palestine, in Israel, if the Christians in Iran, if the Christians in these places do not have this hope, they will give up. And just as in the days of Peter, the persecution is pending, and many of them would die, and many of them would go into martyrdom. So, without this hope, these people will be hopeless. But we are here. This persecution doesn't seem pending. It seems to be so far away. Who knows? When it comes, how will we stand? Try to think of us in their places. How they are standing today. Christians persecuted, beheaded, martyred, just because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a challenge to all of us as we sit down listening to what speakers week by week have to say. Does it mean anything to us? Don't sit on the lounge chair. Exercise. Do your bit. Give all diligence. Search for it. What is this hope that you have? In 1 Peter, hope stirs us toward sanctification, where God is the standard. What do I mean by that? Let's look at the verse. But as he who called you is holy, and also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If 1 Peter gives us how to survive, 2 Peter tells us how we need to revive ourselves so that we are ready to face the persecution that is pending. The imminence of the day is that the day of the Lord is coming soon. 1 Peter chapter 3. And the day of the Lord is a terrible day. It is a day that the church, hopefully, happily, is not going through. It is the day of the Lord that will fall upon the Jewish believers. Israel, for their sin against God and rebelling against God. But we who are Christians will escape that in the rapture when the Lord will return to take us back unto himself. But the Jews who are left behind will have to go through this. And these Jews have become those who have become Christians, they will escape. But those who are not, they will go through this tribulation. 2 Peter, hope shifts to a subjective application. 1 Peter, as I'm doing it now, gives us hope, what it is. I have not yet, and I've just given you the essence, but I need to give you the gist of it as we go on. In 2 Peter, it says, having known what it is, what should we do about it? It focuses on the faithfulness and fortitude required of the believer while waiting for the end of the age, going on as the athlete to the finishing line. As we see the days coming, even today in this world, we see the persecution of the Christians. Yes, we do hear of people who, there's a revival so-called. Many people coming to the Lord. Many people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to also take it with a pinch of salt. Whether this is true or not, and in correspondence with the hope, the living hope that we are talking about, as we shall see. Wherefore, let us run, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, and that's the challenge. If we have this hope before us, it challenges our personal life. What is the kind of life that we live? God is holy. Therefore, we must be holy. Let us run with patience. Many Christians before us have run that race, and they are now nearing the finishing line. We are the last 2 weeks or so. I received news of people whom I knew when I was young. Today, they have left us. Let us, for us who know, even Dr. Joyce has left us. And I just received a few days ago another one who left us in his 70s. For people of my group, we need to be careful. We need to take care because we know that this hope, this living hope, will be a reality very soon. But there are others who don't seem to care because they think they are far away. Can they be sure? Many of my friends have left this earth much younger than I am today. The Lord, in His grace, has spared me for a purpose. And it's the living hope that keeps me and others of my age group going on, because we are looking forward to that group, to that age, to that hope that will be fulfilled in the future. When many witnesses have gone on, we are now nearing the mark, signaling the end. We are therefore pressing towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, let's quickly go through, and I shall finish in 15 minutes' time. The definition of the Christian hope. What is this hope? Hope is important in Peter's days and ultimately in our days. Peter's days are more or less a picture of what is going to come. And today we are seeing what is happening in the in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Israel. These things that Peter warned the Christians about are slowly coming into our midst. It's a living hope for those who are going through this period. They see their hope being alive as they face the dead challenges of persecution and martyrdom. It encourages Christians to experience and endure pending persecution. That's what is called the living hope. Ensuring that Christians experience and endure pending persecution, preparing them. We would never think that in our generation, when people would understand one another, when the world is at a better stage of understanding one another, of living together, yet there are people who would murder, who would persecute, who would kill another person just because that person is of another faith. And it's happening today. Slowly, if we are not careful, Malaysia may face this problem too. It exhorts the Jewish converts to extract from the past and prepare for the present. What relevance has the living hope to with the Jews who were Christians in Peter's time, who before were Jews? Peter was writing especially to the Jews who had converted and become Christians. Now, Peter was saying, you do not fear the coming persecution that is coming because of Emperor Nero. Emperor Nero will launch that persecution against Christians. Paul said, I'm ready. Why? Because he has a living hope. And he was martyred by Emperor during this persecution. Paul, Peter warned, the persecution is coming and you must not be afraid. Have a living hope in you. Look out beyond that towards the future. That is the living hope. That future, that hope that is in the Holy of Holies. And so, we find the Jewish believers were told, look back to the past, how God had extracted you. God had pulled you out from the Egyptians. God had pulled you out from the Babylonians. God had pulled you out from the Assyrians. God had pulled you out from the Persians, the Iranians. God had pulled you out from the Greeks. God had pulled you out from all these and has saved you. Nero is coming. The Roman persecution is coming. Don't be afraid. What God has done in the past, God will do. That is how living the hope is. When we are faced with this challenge, it's our hope living. It extends the perspective of all in the presence to press toward the mark. Do not be afraid. As we look to the past, the Lord had proved that He Himself fulfilled all that He had promised. Let's look up to the future, the prospect in front of us. What He had done in the past, He will do in the present, and He will do in the future. And what He has promised in the future, He will bring it to pass. That is the message of the living hope. It is not just a phrase that means nothing. It is a phrase that challenges us to the kind of living that we ought to live. Peter, James, and John were privileged to witness Christ's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, His agony in Gethsemane, and His post-resurrection appearances when He appeared before them after His resurrection. Yet, each one of them had to bear the cross to prove the living hope in them. James, when in the writing of the time of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 12, was beheaded by Herod Agrippa and presented, and his head presented to Salome. Peter was crucified, but he said, that honor must not be taken away from the Lord. The Lord, my Lord, was crucified. His living hope in Christ that He rose again. I cannot imitate Him. Let me die crucified upside down. That's what the tradition had. That His hope was so living and so real that He said, you crucify me? Crucify. But I don't crucify me up, right side up, because that is the honor given to the Lord. Crucify me the other way around. John, he escaped the persecution. He was exiled in the island of Patmos. These three might represent us living today. Some Christians would be persecuted and would have to give their lives unto the Lord to prove the living hope is true. Other Christians would have to place their faith upon the altar and surrender to the Lord and give honor unto the Lord. Others, perhaps like us, will be just, live our normal lives and die normally. But what is our hope beyond that? What is our attitude towards the living hope? Each had a hope to meet their master. Whether martyred, whether crucified upside down or not, whether lead a normal life, each had a living hope that one day, when they pass this earth into the region beyond, they would meet their master and see him face to face. Hope is not only important, hope is infinite. The confident expectation and joyful assurance that God will fulfill all His promises through Jesus Christ, especially regarding salvation, eternal life, and future glory. This is the living hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died, was buried, and He rose again, He did all because of our sins. He died for our sins. He was buried to prove that he died for our sins. He rose again to prove that his death for the sins was accepted by God and that we could be forgiven. And that's why the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ are important. No one, I repeat, no one without going through the death, burial, and resurrection could ever claim to be the living hope of anyone. No one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ alone can give the evidence of a death, burial, and resurrection. Compare God's personal character and promise. God said, your hope is anchored in heaven. He gave promises. But people like us, we don't trust his promises. I still remember when I was a young boy, when I was with my friends, and if I suspected and my friends stopped not telling me the truth of a promise that he made, then I would say, swear, swear, you swear, swear that you are telling the truth, swear. And in our dealings with God, sometimes we may tell God the same thing. Swear, God, swear that what you say, that I shall be in heaven when I leave this world. Swear that it is true. Is it necessary? Not necessary. Why? Because of God's character. God is God. And if God is God, and he cannot lie. But we don't believe in that. We say, you swear. God condescends to accept our challenge. And we read, man's condition for confirmation, to be, we read Hebrews 6:16, men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. You can swear, then we believe you. God, you swear. God says, okay, you want me to swear? Look, I am God. My creator is God, and God cannot lie. But you want me to swear? Okay, I swear. And this is my oath, that I swear by two immutable promises. I am God. And I now swear that when you believe in me, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and you will go to heaven when you leave this world. This is what I swear. This is my oath to you. But unfortunately, some people today say that it's not true, that we have to depend on ourselves. If we are not good enough, we cannot go to heaven. Even we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not good enough, we cannot go to heaven. It is conditional that we live a perfect life. This is not the living hope. The living hope is God has sworn. God has promised. His promises are yea and amen. This is consolidated by the Lord Jesus Christ having gone into the Holy of Holies. If the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the Holy of Holies, he is now in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, he's promised to us that if you believe in him, you will have life. That is a promise that must be kept. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunners for us has entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever. He is now the high priest. He is the intercessor, Hebrews 7:25, intercessor for us. Whatever wrong, whatever sin we make on earth today, we confess to him. He that confesseth your sin, he will forgive. His blood will cleanse us from all our sins. So our sins can be forgiven. Our sins will be forgiven, even as Christians, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? Because Jesus Christ is now in heaven. And because he is in heaven, he is an intercessor. There's no one else who can be intercessor. Only he can be intercessor. Why? Because he died. He was buried. He rose again. No one else. Only one who has lived can offer to give life to others. And only one who has given life to others can plead on behalf of those who have to whom he has given life. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, and the glory of God. It's very sad to say that some people, in order to get their following, say, if you are Christian, you can sin, and God may not forgive you. You have got to work your way to heaven. He does not say that in the Bible. This is not the living hope. This is a hopeless hope. It is not, I hope so. But it is, I know so, that when I leave this world, I will go to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be able to meet with my God. This is the living hope. Why do I know that? Because God said so. There's no other. There's no other claim that we can make. God said so. That's enough. Okay. The description of the Christian hope, very quickly. This Christian hope is based on a person. It's person-centered, rooted in the risen Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because Christ is alive. He died. He was buried. He rose again. No other person, man or woman, can ever claim this. Only Jesus died, buried, and rose again. Therefore, he is a living hope. Upon this fact, God can forgive my sin. God can accept me back, and God can restore me back my position. Don't be surprised with these words. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men miserable. What is this? Am I contradicting myself? I said, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you'll be saved forever. And here he says, if you have any hope only in Christ, you are all men miserable. Am I contradicting myself? No. If you have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, that he lives again today. He is on the right hand of God in the Holy of Holies. You will be saved and saved forever. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is a Christ, is a good man, is a good Bible teacher, is a good religious leader, is a good person, if you believe in that, you are of all men most miserable, because he did not die for you. He did not rise. He was not buried for you. He was not risen for you. You believe in an ordinary man, ordinary Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ himself said, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, lo, there is Christ, believe it on. And today there are many churches that say, believe in Christ is good man, give me money, give me more money and help in the work and so on. No, that is not a living hope. The living hope is Jesus Christ and him crucified and him risen again from the dead and now alive in Christ. We are alive because he is alive. It is a promise based, grounded in God's written word. 1 Corinthians 15:4. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. It was featured in the Old Testament, in the prophecy, in the feast of Jehovah, and also in the facts that have been given to us. All these are pointers that Jesus Christ must die, be buried, rise again from the dead. This is our living hope. Unless we believe in that, then there's no hope for us. Finally, it is future-orientated. What is our hope? Our hope is person-centered in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, resurrection. It is promised that if you believe in him, you will be saved forever. In his future, or his future orientated, this will be fulfilled in the future. Not on this world. It is not a wishy-wishy hope that you have in this world. Focus on eternal glory. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the hope of glory? It is faith connected. Faith, hope, and love are three. They are all important, but hope is among them. Faith, hope, and love. All right. And now, while faith, hope, love, and these three, they are the greatest of the three while we are alive, hope is among them. Let us have a hope. So, we have finished with the definition of the Christian hope, the description of the Christian hope, now the declaration of Christian hope. Peter declares the Christian hope in four places. There are the four texts, and with that I finish. The four texts. In 1 Peter 1:3, 1:13, 1:21, 3:15. I'll touch on them briefly in my next part in August. But what are they? Just let me read to you as I finish. 1:3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a holy living. Unto a lively living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Last one, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer. I'll be dealing with every one of them in the next part in August, Lord willing. But in the meanwhile, I hope that this study on the living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ may sustain you even until, if the Lord willing, before he comes, that we should be prepared for him. This is my hope. I hope this is your hope as well. Let us give thanks for the Lord, to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the hope that you have given us. We thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that if we have any other hope in other people, other saints, so-called, other Christ, so-called, let us, O Lord, move away from such hopes and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, buried, and rose again from the dead for us all, and who will come again to receive us unto himself, that we may be that he, where he is also. He is alive, and because he is alive, we are alive. We thank you, Lord. We give thanks now for the food before us as we go on to have fellowship one with another. Thank you, Lord, for thy goodness to us. So be with us for the rest of this day and the days after, and keep the living hope in us living for our sakes. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. And by the way, if you are interested,